Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland here, though you can't see me. Welcome to the Gladstone Room of the Oxford Union Society, as in the Debating Society of Oxford University. So founded in, when is it, 1823? Yeah, we just had our bicentenary, isn't that right? So so the Gladstone Room is named in honour of William Ewart Gladstone, who was thrice Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, and he was in the Oxford Union in his very early days. There he is. He was born in 1805 in Liverpool. As someone said of him, acidly, Oxford on top, but Liverpool underneath. So he was president of the society very early on. Up until that time, the various colleges of Oxford University had their own debating societies, but there was a desire to set up one that was intercollegiate. Moreover, outside proctorial control, because the proctor said you can debate anything except religion and politics. Well, religion and politics was almost everything, especially back in those days. The Oxford Union was established, though not on this site initially, over on King Edward Street near Vincent's Club. And then it moved over here a bit later on in 1878, and over through there, that's the library, and that was the debating chamber originally, but the society outgrew it, and then it shifted over there, and that is the debating chamber, which I've filmed on other occasions. So it's got the Oxford Union has got its own premises with libraries, a bar, a restaurant, which doesn't really function as a restaurant. It's just used for dinners when lots of guests are here, and various other reception rooms, little offices, the debating chamber, library. So you can become a life member, or if you're studying in Oxford for a limited period because you're a visiting student, join for the duration of your time in Oxford and stuff like that. But it's got financial difficulties. They're appealing to people for £5 million. It always repays looking up in Oxford. If we look up at the ceiling, we can see the coats of arms of various colleges with their years of foundation. 1427, that's Lincoln, if I'm not mistaken. Do you see near the bottom of it? If it was not too fuzzy, 1427. And over here, All Souls, 1437, if I can read that correctly, founded by Henry VIII to commemorate all the souls of the soldiers killed in the Hundred Years' War against France, though it lasted 116 years. Okay, Magdalene, spelt Magdalene, and their motto is Sic ut Lilium, just like a lily, as in honor of St. Mary, Magdalene, the Bible. Some people think she's the wife of Jesus Christ. So founded by William Wainfleet, who also helped to found Eton, and Thomas Wolsey, a famous old boy of this one, as well as Oscar Wilde, Ken Tynan. And look, this one here, my goodness, I think it's Brasenose. But I'm not very good at some of these ones here. Ooh, sorry, that's meant to be Brasenose there. And there we have, this one is Corpus Christi. Look at the pelican, whatever, stabbing itself to give a drop of blood very self-sacrificially. It would give its own blood to save its own offspring. So Bishop Fox, who was blind, founded it. And when they showed him at the college he'd founded, they led him twice around the quad. So I think it's twice as big as it really was. And this is Christchurch, originally Cardinal College, founded by Thomas Wolsey, renamed Christchurch. By Henry VIII in 1546, but it gives that year as its foundation, but really was founded about 20 years earlier. Okay, and here is Trinity, founded 1555 by Sir Thomas Pope, the only old Etonian to found an Oxford College, and the only Oxford College to have its founder buried in its college chapel. Look at the University coat of arms, Dominus Illuminatio Mea, and don't think it gives a foundation the year there, actually. But anyway, so that is a quotation from Psalm 27, The Lord is my light. I don't know what the three crowns are an allusion to. UNIV, my college, University College Oxford, has got 872, which is we now accept as mythical, the claim it was founded in that year by King Alfred the Great. We know now it was founded in actually 1249 by William of Durham. So the martlets, as in they've got no feet, these mythical birds, symbols of the Anglo-Saxon kings, of which Alfred the Great was one. And he's a boy from Wantage, just south of Oxford. And here's Balliol, founded by John de Balliol, that major landowner of Northern England, who was married to Dervagilla, a daughter of a major landowner in Scotland, and his son, John Balliol, was briefly King of Scots. Another point is, John de Balliol founded this one as a way to compensate the Bishop of Durham for having insulted him. This one, God, I should know, that's Merton, founded by Walter de Merton, who was a monk who was not actually from Merton, but lived there, said he wasn't born in Merton. Okay, so that's 1264. Liz Truss's college, that of T.S. Eliot and others. It'll remind me that one who's the Conservative Northern Ireland secretary who's murdered in 1979, Airy Reeve. This one I don't remember, 1314, I should know that's very early. Okay, and this is Balliol, not Balliol, what am I talking about? Oriel, the fourth one founded by Adam de Brome, as in named after Oriel, some royal residence that was closed down to help fund it. And this one is the Queen's College, okay, very bland college. Rowan Atkins is the only distinguished person to have been there, and so on. And hit this one, goodness, I forget. And there we have, what is it? That is Worcester, I should know, found a former abbey. And this one here, I just can't think which one. That is Pembroke, the Earl of Pembroke, and so on. There's Jesus College, okay, by Elizabeth I. The Reverend Price, a Welshman, founded it. Strong links to Wales. There's St. John's, okay, founded in 1555 by Mary Tudor. And over here, goodness, I should know this one. I'm forgetting it. And the university plaque again, Hartford by Elias de Hartford. And another one. I don't know them all. Okay. You get the idea. Woo! Making me dizzy looking up so much. They're trying to zoom out and see these bookshelves. These bookshelves have been here since not long after the foundation. Okay, bound volumes of The Spectator going back many, many years. Okay, well into the 19th century, back into the 1850s. That's The Spectator, which Boris Johnson later edited, and he was president of this society. Remember seeing the back issues in the 1960s with advertisement by the South African government saying how well they're ruling Namibia. Okay, and then this magazine called The Speaker about politics and so forth. I dipped into the North American Review here, found an article which happened to be penned by a certain William Ewart Gladstone, Esquire, and so on, the Oxford University Gazette. So a consultative committee used to meet here on Monday at luncheon, and some people were eating their lunch there. So some of the other distinguished past presidents of the society, the Earl of Lincoln, who was a confrere of Gladstone when he was here. Gladstone went to Christchurch. That college is always called Christchurch, never Christchurch College. And in his incredibly detailed journal, Gladstone would say that he sat beside the Earl of Lincoln at luncheon. He read so many pages of Thucydides. Then he read hundreds of lines of the Virgil or whatever. So here is later Secretary of State for War. First of all, a Tory like Gladstone, and Gladstone, who then became a Whig and then became a Liberal. Cosmo Gordon Lang, okay, Archbishop of York, but what it doesn't say is later on in his career he became Archbishop of Canterbury, as in the highest priest in England. He was born to Scots parents in England, and his father been a Church of Scotland minister. And the Church of Scotland and the Church of England are not carbon copies of each other. One's Presbyterian, the other's Episcopalian. Okay, and a very distinguished lawyer who came here, Sir Jeremy Lever QC, and gave a few pennies. There's a big drive to save the Oxford Union in the 60s. Harold Macmillan, the then Prime Minister, helped to save it, and he'd been elected president due to serve in autumn 1914, but then the First World War broke out. He went off to war and never came back. Okay, this Prebendary Jackson, okay, author of Uniomachia. I don't know what it's about. Because into the 20th century, early 20th century, a quarter of Oxford graduates became clergy. Anyway, so that's just a little introduction to the Gladstone Room in the Oxford Union Society. I hope you've liked this whistle-stop tour and out onto the gardens there. Okay, I'll switch it off now.